Today on Real Radio.
False teaching comes out of false Christians. False Christians propagate false teachings, which result in false growth. That's what this parable is about.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables. Now, our primary passage that contains a number of these parables is Matthew chapter 13. Now, you know, Jesus really liked to talk to the folks on their level in terms that they'd understand, just like we heard in the parable of the sower. We'll also take a look at the parable of the mustard seed in upcoming editions of Real Radio. And today, we'll have a look at the parable of the tares, sometimes known as the parable of the tares among the wheat. It's often described as an alarming parable on many levels. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares.
That's true discipleship. Taking in the Word of God and then doing it is the true definition of discipleship. Jesus taught the disciples, and then what happened when all those people, as the evening wore on, it got late and they were hungry and they were far from home? What did Jesus say to the disciples? You feed them. And they went like this, what? And whenever you present yourself to be used by God, God will fill in all the needs and your faith will explode. And we want to keep that in mind as we look to these parables. They are intended to shed light upon an open heart, but the very same light that goes out to a closed heart actually causes that closed heart, if it stays in that position, to even shut down harder. The parable is an amazing way of teaching that unlocks or locks a person's heart based upon their willingness. If they're not willing, when they hear the truth, they push it away. And every time, and I hope you're not in here tonight, but maybe you're somebody tonight that just pushes away the truth. Listen, with every push away of God trying to reach you through life's issues, through illumination, maybe God will speak to you through something or try to get your attention. If you push him away, listen, if you push him away, it becomes easier every time to push him away. He recoils still. He gets further away. God, the Holy Spirit, backs up even more. Until there comes a point, like we're reading, by the way, in our one-year Bible right now, where Pharaoh is so much pushing God away that there comes that point in time when God says, okay, that's it. I'm done with him. And God lets him stand in what he's been demanding to stand in, and that is rebellion against God. When you hear the word of God, like you'll hear tonight, you want to receive it and not push it away. There's a grave danger. And tonight, on top of it, looking at the parable of the tares in Matthew chapter 13, this is a very sobering parable, to say the least. Jesus came teaching, the Bible says, and preaching the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God transcends all other things, church. It transcends, though we are not exempt from our nationality, our allegiance to a particular nation or state, to a company or a family. These are things that God has intended for us to be involved in. And isn't it interesting that God puts, I think, in the heart of every citizen of every nation, some sense of patriotism for that particular nation of theirs, which I think goes in line with Scripture, that he's established the boundaries and borders of nations and has placed people in them. But listen, the kingdom of God transcends even our nationality as Americans. The kingdom of God transcends all these earthly things. And yet we are right smack dab in the middle of living our faith out in this world. And the big question tonight as we get into this parable is, have I really become a true believer? And listen to the remarkable warning that Jesus gives us. I got to tell you, this is not for the faint of heart. Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable, the second parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted, that is the wheat had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Amazing. Listen to verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into the barn. This is a radical, direct parable that Jesus is speaking. It's one, by the way, that is short, but we all need to be very careful that we don't run across it too quickly. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, right in the opening, when it says here that another parable he spoke to them, saying that the kingdom of heaven, mark this down in your notes if you don't have it already marked, the kingdom of heaven in the Bible and the kingdom of God are interchangeable statements. They're exactly the same thing. What is it? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is God's revelation that gets into someone's heart. Remember when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. Then Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. What is he saying? That the kingdom of God, the gospel, the doctrine of God, the rule of God, the politic of God is designed to rule and reign in your heart. That is where God's throne is established in the life of a believer. And so when Jesus was preaching and teaching, the Gospels tell us, and as he announced the kingdom, he made oftentimes the statement, the kingdom of God has come near to you. You've read that before. What does that mean? It means that the truth that unlocks your heart into everlasting life, to experience the love of God and the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, is coming by you. And when that news comes, you're to open up your heart wide and receive Christ. And so he spoke to them this parable regarding the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. This new passport life, this new politic that we have is of God. Jesus gives us a very stiff reality check here, and I'm going to ask you to mark these things down tonight and really take them into your hearts personally. This is serious business. He's going to reveal to us about what true kingdom living is all about. And church, listen, it's all about us living this life now, the kingdom of heaven in our lives now, in the midst of grave danger. Grave danger. Today I saw in the news, maybe you did too, where Iran was shipping very dangerous weapons from Iran. They trucked them across Syria. Did you see this today? Drove them across Syria, and they were just getting ready to cross over into Lebanon and hand the weaponry to the hands of Hezbollah to use against Israel. And what happened today, unbeknownst, by the way, to very, very state-of-the-art Russian and Iranian electronic warfare, Israel completely jammed their electronic systems and caused them to see nothing, while Israel flew over warplanes and blew up the convoy of these weapons just as they were getting ready to cross over into... And here's the amazing thing. As they did this, the Russians that are there manning this equipment to detect Israel or U.S. Spy satellites or aircraft or whatever saw nothing. And everyone's really embarrassed right now because they saw nothing. Well, Israel's got a couple of pieces of equipment that makes things invisible. And they never saw it coming. And you say, why do you bring this up? Because if kingdoms of this world are at war, and the whole thing is covert and spy and electronic sleight of hand and all this stuff that's going on in the physical realm, because there's national pride at stake and there's freedom at stake and there's agendas at stake and it's all this stuff of this earth at stake, how much more if the price is eternity, is the kingdom of darkness and of hell and of Satan warring against the kingdom of light and of God, and you and I are on the battlefield. You are the prize. Your soul is the reward. Think about it. There's the spiritual realm of demonic and angelic host. God is on his throne. Eternity doesn't change. So what's the big deal? Why is there such a big fight? Why is there this struggle within this kingdom as believers? And there's grave danger that Jesus warns us about. Because listen, the soul of every human being is precious to God. And that case causes Satan to go after every human. He hates every human being. And wants them destroyed. How would he do that? I'm going to ask you to write down these three things. There's a threefold campaign that Satan uses against the work of God and the mission of God regarding salvation and the gospel. It's very important. Mark it. False Christians. That's right. Don't look at me like that. Write it down. False Christians. Fake believers. Secondly, false teaching. False teaching comes out of false Christians. False Christians propagate false teachings, which result in false growth. That's what this parable is about. False growth. Notice, we'll see in a moment what they really are, but tares grow up with the weeds. An enemy comes and sows these false brethren among those that are of the kingdom of God. This parable, the illustration, is a little bit different than the parable of the sower and the seed. That parable gives description to the things shown. This one is a little bit different in this way. The believer and the non-believer are both, I'll put it this way, religious, okay? They're in a religious setting. The field is the world in this case. And the seed that goes out is not, or the wheat that goes out, or the tare that goes out is not the word of God or the word of Satan. It is those who follow those teachings. In other words, in the parable, the wheat are true believers and the tares are false believers. But mark this down. Point number one, watch out for false Christians. This is an amazing truth. When he says here in verse 24, it says, it is like, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The man is Christ. The sowing of the individual, the believer, is in the world. Note this. The parable means that Jesus Christ is not sowing the Bible now, the word of God. That's the other parable. He's putting believers everywhere in the world. That's the wheat. It's amazing. Jesus has his people everywhere. He sees to it. We know tonight painfully that Jesus has one of his people in an Iranian prison because he's a Christian. God bless him and protect him. God's people's everywhere. He puts his people everywhere. And God is at work. And so let's look at this. The man sowed good seed in his field. There is godly believers in the world, of course. But while men slept, verse 25 says, speaks of a time when endurance is needed. You know how Jesus often said, he who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved? It doesn't mean your endurance saves you. It means that because you're saved, you are going to endure all the way to the end. Be it the course of your life or at the end of time, you're going to make it. God will see to it. He gets you through. It's very encouraging. But this word here, that as men slip, Jesus is warning. The word of God is going out. People are being converted. Christians are bearing forth fruit, being fruitful in the sense of wheat. And they're walking with God. They're loving God. They're devoted to God. And as time goes on, as now look at us, we're 2,000 years down the road. How much more true is this in our day? And in verse 25, he says, regarding this sowing of tares, it says, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went on his way. This is an amazing warning by Jesus about deception and infiltration by false Christians. None of us like to talk like this or even hear this stuff. Do you mean there can be false Christians? You mean there can be false believers? Oh yeah. There, in fact, the Bible has promised us that in our midst there'll be false believers. Somebody might say, well, I'm going to go to a church where there are no false believers. That's impossible for you to know. You want me to make you a bizarre promise based on Scripture? Jesus will show us this more later. Wherever God's church is at, there will be false Christians. Guaranteed. Why? That's Satan's plan. You say, well, why doesn't God put them all in a headlock and keep them outside? It's not how it works. What are tares? You might say, what are these things, tares? Glad you asked. Listen, tares are native to the eastern regions of the Mediterranean. They are also known as darnel or darnel grass. Looks just like wheat. Can't tell the difference. They grow alongside wheat. They grow where wheat is found. They resemble so much wheat that the farmer himself cannot detect if it's wheat or not. The dangerous thing is, watch this, everybody. When it starts to sprout, looks just like wheat. When it grows up, looks just like wheat. When it forms its, what we'll say fruit, though it's not, it's fake, the kernel or the meat of it, looks just like wheat. You can't separate them until the very end. That's when you know. You've got to wait till the very end. And it's very interesting because when you take real wheat and rub it together in your hands, if you take the kernels of it and you rub it together in your hands, blow off the chaff, you can take that and put it in your mouth and chew it up, and it becomes almost like a wheat gum. You can chew it, and it's actually pretty cool. Tastes okay. It's fine. You do that with tares, and you're going to get very sick. You put it in your mouth, and immediately it's bitter. Not only is it bitter, but it releases a toxin when you either heat it up or your body temperature from your mouth chewing on it heats up and releases this toxin that causes you to feel dizzy. It causes you, and it can cause you to have some form of dizziness to the sense where you also begin to forget. And Jesus said, watch out for this. It's amazing. They're fruitless. Tares are fruitless, bitter, and usually sometimes empty in the husk. But always a fraud, always a fake. And the Bible says, Jesus says, that he has this enemy in the parable. Now, you don't want to push parables too far, because honestly, let's be honest, Jesus has no enemies. Do you guys understand that? Jesus doesn't wring his hands in eternity saying, oh man, the devil really got me today. And Jesus has no enemies. God has no enemies as the way of foes. He's not competing against Satan. If Satan had a competitor, it would be like Michael or Gabriel. Those are three angels, Lucifer, Gabriel, Michael, of archangel status. They're equals. Jesus has no equal. But when he says an enemy has done this, it's not that God is threatened, but the context demands it's what God loves is threatened. Man is under threat, under that satanic cloud or blanket of deception. Satan seeks to infiltrate. And I'm going to ask you to think about these five things that I've got you hopefully to meditate on. How does the devil do this? Don't you want to know that? How does the devil come and sow these tares among us like this? He does it by counterfeiting all the truths of God. He takes, in fact, remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus? What did he use to tempt Jesus? He used the Bible, didn't he? But if when given enough time, Satan winds up misquoting the Bible against Jesus. It's pretty fascinating. Satan will use the Bible. Church, listen. Boy, if I tell you, if you don't get anything out of this, get this. This is discipleship 101. Satan, in the life of a Christian, will use the Bible to deceive him. Well, how's that happen? Because he will, in fact, his fingerprints are all over the cults. You know what they do? Cults use the Bible to back up their position. Did you know that? But how do they use the Bible? The way Satan taught them. You ever think of that? How do they do that? They open up a chapter from a book of the Bible and they quote a verse right out of the chapter. And then they'll turn over to three other books and they'll quote another verse out of some other chapter. And you know what they do? They take a text out of the context and make it a pretext. That is, they take a statement from the Word of God, but that statement is propped up in the chapter, in the context. But if you lift it and place it somewhere else and then surround it with other verses out of context, the very Word of God, rearranged or misarranged, I should say, can become a lie. This is absolutely remarkable in the world of espionage and spy missions to infiltrate, to jam the message. If your opponent is very bright, then you will use his technology and flip it enough to deceive him. And there are people, maybe you're here tonight, and you've been deceived by cults or by groups that will wrestle or twist the Bible and promote their thing. Because it's the Bible taken out of context. Satan's a master at that. How does he do it? He counterfeits the Word of God. When does the devil do this? Constantly, at every opportunity, but most effectively in religious settings. Amazing, isn't it? You would think Satan wouldn't go to church. Satan goes to church. He's seeking to infiltrate. Jesus warns us with the parable of the tares. The next thing is, why does the devil do this? And that is to corrupt, listen to this, to corrupt and pollute biblical doctrine. Satan's a master at that. You know this. He shows up in the Garden of Eden, and what does he say? Has God said? To pollute and twist the Word of God. To get churches to not teach the Bible. To begin to put in the minds of people, you don't need the Bible. As long as you're sincere, there's all kinds of ways to God. That's demonic doctrine. Oh, if you just mean it, or God is loving. God is loving, he'll save you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares, a look at one of the agricultural analogies, if you will, told by Jesus himself to his disciples. A very sobering parable indeed. We'll continue with more of the parable of the tares on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with jackhibbs.org. That, of course, is our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's where you'll be able to watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. But there are other tabs and buttons that take you to other facets of our ministry. That includes Real Life devotions. Now, I think you're really going to like this. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the button there that simply says Devotions. And if you'd like, subscribe to Real Life Devotions, and they'll be sent to your email each Monday. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.